You're here to make a difference. It's our job to help you do that. Welcome to the Impact Driven Entrepreneur Podcast, the podcast that helps you to build a thriving coaching company by becoming a thriving, impactful CEO. We do that through the Impact Formula methodology. And what this means is that you're going to be selling out your offers, scaling beyond one-on-one into group programs, and leveraging a team so that you can exponentially increase your income and slash your work week. It's time to experience the true income, impact, and freedom you deserve. Welcome back. Today we have Corey Tomalden. Did I say it right that time?
No, it's accent on the second syllable, as my dad would always say.
Tomalden.
Yes.
Tomalden. And today we're chatting about market research, why it's important as an entrepreneur. And if you guys don't know, Corey was our project manager, is a coach in our programs, has been a client, has been around our world for a very long time. And before you click off, because market research is not the sexiest of topics, I just want to bring to the forefront that the number one reason that businesses fail is because of lack of need and demand for that product. So by doing market research, it solves for the number one reason that small businesses fail, which accounts for, I think I have done blog posts about it, it's somewhere between 50%, 40 to 50% of the like bulk of the reasons why businesses fail. If there's no need for what you're offering, you're not going to sell it. And then if you don't sell it, you have no business. So
make money, right?
That's interesting
because I was just listening to a podcast with Brandon
Lucero.
Yes, and yeah. He was talking about the two avatars and how if you don't know who your avatar is, then you can't be in business because you don't know what you're selling. And it doesn't matter if you have the best thing out there. If you don't know who you're speaking to and how to speak to them, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. It's that simple. And So that's really like why it's so important. It's not something to be overlooked. It's not a checkbox in every single course you've ever bought.
Maybe that's why it's in every single course.
Exactly. Let's look at the pattern. Also, it's not a, I did it once and therefore I'm done. I think that's one thing that we have tried really hard to incorporate into our processes, into our teachings. Mm-hmm. We encourage people to do this at least once every 6 months. And phone calls.
I think too, is that every time you're about to launch a new product or you have an idea for a new product or course, whatever offer, if you don't do the market research first, then I feel like the new creation of something is a waste of creative energy and of your time.
Yeah, basically, if we are going forward with an idea and we haven't done the research, we can spend time, months, days, weeks, years, trying to execute on an idea that has nothing to grab a teeth on.
Even if it's created with our existing audience in mind, unless you're asking your existing audience, it's still a waste of time.
Yeah. And I think that brings in such an important point, which is as the expert in something, the terminology you're going to use, the way you're going to think about it is 20 steps ahead of the person who has the problem.
Exactly.
And so it's important that you do the market research so that you know exactly how these people think about it, how they talk about it, how they're experiencing it. Not you as the expert. So the perfect example I like to give is hypertension, right? So the you go to the doctor and the doctor's, oh, you have essential hypertension and you're going to be on metoprolol. That's it. Super simple. Yeah. Super simple. The person experiencing did not go there to the office and raise their hand and say, I got hypertension and I need metoprolol. Like they said none of that because that was not their experience at all. That's the expert's point of view. That's the expert's take on it. So the customer is the patient. And the patient is going to be like, oh my gosh, sometimes my vision is blurry. Oh my gosh, sometimes I get headaches, right? That is the problem. That's how they're experiencing it.
Yep.
They might even have zero symptoms. They might just be not aware of the problem at all, of what's going on.
The underlying.
Yeah. And we go in depth into our programs about how to market to those people. And if you even want to market to people who have no symptoms or not experiencing any issues with it, because the mistake I see people making is like you going out there to market and being like, you have hypertension and you need metoprolol. That's how they're marketing it. And then nobody's listening because nobody's experiencing it in that way in terms of the customers. And in addition, they might even be completely unaware that there's even anything wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's a big disconnect with the customers you're trying to get if you aren't doing the research.
Which I was running into that exact problem numerous times over because I was speaking from the other side, like the transformed side versus the I have a problem side. And if you aren't speaking, so even though I fully understood what was going on, what the problem was, how I could help, because what I had to do was go back to the point where I was. And that, honestly, I think for a lot of coaches, and maybe this is one reason why we resist it, it's painful to go back to that, because you have to be able to relive it. So you've got to manage your mind around that to say, okay, we're just revisiting this. We're not going back. We're just looking at it from where we are now.
Because I think otherwise, it's also really hard to have amnesia about something that you now know so well. It's so hard. In this context, I think it's important to remember that it's hard to unlearn something. And so you must go to the person that doesn't yet know it to remember what the terminology is, what the experience was, all the details of it. Okay. So the scope of market research is literally in everything you do. We teach it in the impact formula as like you have where you're attracting new customers in, you're connecting with them, you're moving them into a sales conversation or your sales mechanism, and then you're keeping clients. Throughout that entire piece, you need to do market research because you are changing, they are changing throughout your buying journey. And so it's important that you study those different points and how they're thinking about things, how they're talking about things, where they are in each part of the process. Do you have anything to add?
For the scope, really? It reminded me again, though, the one episode that you did on stages of awareness.
Yeah.
That's a really good podcast for the market research piece, because that, I think, it frames, okay, am I marketing to the person who's in this stage or in this stage? And then how do I go find that person to learn their language? Because even the differences between, yes, it's the same person who has, or not the same person, yes, they might have the same problem, but someone who's aware of their problem versus someone who isn't aware of their problem, they're going to use totally different language. So
Yeah, that's true. And we'll link to that in the show notes. I also want to say for the scope is, again, I talked about phone calls and I get really irritated to say the least when the advice is just go put a survey out.
I know there's some, it's taught by, I think I learned it in the ASK method from Ryan Levesque, and a lot of entrepreneurs do this as well, is that you put the survey out to your audience, and then the ones who will, you know, leave you a phone number or say that you can contact them, they become like your hottest leads because they're the ones who are comfortable with that. And I was like, yeah, that's great. But if you don't have a large audience to put this survey in front of, then you're screwed.
Because you're going to end up with five responses of that.
So even if you're getting this information from them, if you can't get to a conversation on the phone or via Zoom, however it is that you want to do it, then I don't think you're really going to ever get to the heart of the matter, because it's that one-on-one connection that you just don't get from a survey.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to point out, if I were to summarize what we've talked about in this survey, it's the outline that we're going through. So the importance of market research, why it's important, the scope, how you use it in decision-making, and how it's done. Okay. So that's five things.
Yeah.
The actual depth of what we've gone into has been so much more. We've actually covered like the fact that it's the number one reason why small businesses fail. We've talked about how the angle at which you do it is going to determine your results with it. We've talked about examples. The richness of the conversation has been so much more than the written points on paper. And that is exactly why the conversation is needed. Because even in the tone of voice that person is answering your questions, you are going to get thousands more information that you actually need than if they were to fill out a yes, no questionnaire or a multiple choice.
It's just like having a conversation through text versus having a conversation over the phone and versus having a conversation face to face. With text, you're just getting the text, and that could be edited, that could be censored, that could be any number of things. When you're on the phone, you get the intonation of the voice, you may not, and pauses and all that. But then face to face, again, whether it's actual face to face or Zoom, you have body language, you have facial expressions, you have the tone of voice, you have all of these things that you just don't get in text. And it's that whole picture that I think really makes a difference, and it frames everything.
Yep. And I think people are generally speaking going to be more open with you in a conversation, because then you're real versus, like you said, that edited. If it's a questionnaire, I may or may not answer fully. I may or may not edit my response 20 times.
It's just like everybody who says, I have read the terms and conditions. Check. Did you really read them?
Right.
So.
Yep. Okay. And then, so I think how it's done, it's important that we do it via phone calls. I'm very much a stickler on that. And then just as you pointed out, the people that you have those conversation with become your leads. So the other important aspect of market research is not just, let me get this information. A big piece of it is, let's turn this into leads and sales.
It's that first relationship, I think, that you make, as far as it's your really your first like warm touch point with somebody is when you can get them on a market research call. And whether or not I think they turn into an eventual client, it's besides the point, because you don't want to get ahead of yourself. Yeah. Even if you have this like really good market research call with them, you don't know at that point, okay, so this was a great market research call, but they still may not be your ideal client.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's just the other thing too, is releasing that and separating it from, okay, this is purely for market research. This isn't about getting a client. This is just for research. And I think that also helps with your own approach, because then you're not trying to be salesy. You're just having an open conversation, and that it not just helps you, but I think it just helps flow the whole market research call.
Yeah. And also some of them will turn into clients. Some of them will ask, how can I get help with this? And at that point, then you schedule whatever. But I don't want people to think the call is the end. No, the call is the beginning. It's the beginning to how you're going to use it in the future. It's the beginning to the relationship that you have with that person. It's a lot of things. Absolutely. And it's a beginning. Yeah. How can people use the market research for decision making?
I think when people look at market research, they're looking at it as, okay, how do I shape my copy for my website or whatever? One of my favorite things to use market research for is actually for SEO, just because it's a great starting off point to look for in different forums. You can look for in Reddit, you can look for wherever to see, okay, this is what my ideal client is saying. Let me see if I can go find other conversations around it. And then weaving that into your SEO research. But then also, okay, so this is the problem that they have. How can I best solve it for them? Is it going to be through, do they need, can they get by with just a course where they don't need as much one-on-one support? Can they get by with the group coaching? Is it going to be better in a group program where you have that added layer of accountability and then people who are going through the same problem? Or is it best served by a one-on-one offer? And does that one-on-one offer need to be a long extended program, or can I do it in like a VIP intensive or something? So I think that's how some of the ways you can use it to frame.
Yeah, basically using that information to inform how you're going to structure your business, how you're going to structure your offers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to point out there, I have a good friend who she had an offer and it was a membership, and she's really trying really hard with this membership. And turns out that through market research, so it was doing okay. It just wasn't doing as well as some of the other things that she was doing. And so she's like, what's going on with this membership? And she did some market research, and it turns out that the people at that stage of business weren't taking membership seriously. She was trying to run a mastermind as a membership. Yeah. And so when she actually, she increased the price by a lot, I'm talking, I think it was like $100 a month, and it went to a $8,000 mastermind. Once she did that, then the sales were coming in. The clients, you get the buy-in.
Yeah. Because you get the investment that people are looking for.
And the quality of the investment, like the investment matches the exchange, basically. The people that are investing are serious about making this change. Like, it's just, there has to be a match. And although we may want to price things so people can quote unquote afford it, that's not necessarily always the approach. It's how can I have the value of this program match the price? Yeah. So that is our chat about market research. Is there anything else that you think is important for people or that you want to talk about for this?
No, I think it's the whole, every time that you have this idea for a new product, whether that product is a course or, you know, a new coaching offer or program, do your market research, and not just in your audience, but go do a fresh round of market research, because you may find people, you know, that you haven't gotten into touch with before. And it has to be an ongoing part of your business, because if it's not, then you aren't going to be able to incorporate the language, and you aren't going to be able to speak to the people that you need to be speaking to.
Yeah, I love that. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Where can people find all your stuff?
I Authentically Autistic and ADHD on YouTube, Instagram, and blog, and Facebook. And I've got a Facebook group. It's Authentically Autistic and ADHD. That's awesome. Where I am.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Get daily mindset strategy and support to grow your business for free. Join our community, the Coaching for Impact community on Facebook. Just go to impactdrivenentrepreneur.com/community to join.